This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
You may remember him from Australian Idol in 2006. Not only is he an award-winning singer and songwriter, he's also an author of both adult and children's novels. And wait for it, he's got his own app.
No way.
Yep, got his own app. Damien Leith, good morning and welcome to Joy.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be here.
Damien, before we get into the music side of things, I'm intrigued. Tell us about this app.
Yeah, you know, it's a kids app. That's what it is. It's called Damien Leith Storytime. And basically, I over the years, I've always told my kids bedtime stories. And I'd record them on my phone while I was telling the stories. And I kind of went over my phone, you know, a while ago. I was wondering why it was, you know, constantly full, constantly saying the memory and the storage is up. And turns out I had 100 stories saved on my phone that I just kind of told the kids live. So I decided I'd make an app, put those stories, you know, re-record them, put them together, put some sound effects, and lo and behold, there you go. There's an app out there now.
But did you record them because you're basically a lazy parent and this is like you want a day off? So you
yes,
say,
I did. Yes, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Close your eyes. Daddy is still sitting here and you just press record and you walk out and open a beer. You
know? I did it for not just for myself, but for parents everywhere. You know, all those parents who just have a really tough day and they want that beer and they just go, hey, want to hear a story? And when pre-done.
Or when they're three and they ask you to read the same book 35 nights in a row and it's like, oh, please, can we wait?
And it is. It's always the same story. My daughter's constantly over the years constantly come up and said, oh, can I read you a story? And she keeps reading me the same story over and over and over and over again. And I keep saying, you know how to read this. We don't need to read this again. But she does night after night. So, so my excuse, I'll just tell them a story.
Well, that's great. I'm going to have to download one of my apps. Well, it's probably going to be Grindr or Scruff. We'll get yours on there.
There you go. I like it.
So last year you performed in Melbourne for a one night only and your show played tribute to the gospel collection of Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Sold out.
It did.
You're bringing it back.
I am. The show went really well. It was a Wednesday night last year. It was the anniversary of his death. And I thought I'd do something a bit different. You know, people have done a lot of Elvis stuff over the years. Yep. The jumpsuits, the whole lot. I don't impersonate him. I like the songs. I just loved his voice on those songs. That's really what it was. His voice just sounded silky on all that gospel stuff. I did the show last year, sold out, and we decided let's do a small run of it. So it's just 7 shows this year, and I'm back at Palms Crown Casino next week. Actually, pretty
Palms
soon.
Is a great venue.
Yeah,
I like it.
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I've seen lots of Palms. I think,
Damien, is gospel just for Christians? And the reason I ask is I'm not Christian.
Yeah.
And gospel is not something that I would ordinarily listen to.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you ask that because this is actually, it's been a hard sell, I have to be honest, this tour. And the main reason being, I think a lot of people don't really know what Elvis gospel actually is. And exactly what you say, it's so true. There's a lot of people go, oh, you know, it's all kind of religious music and it's, you know, I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna be bored or I'm not into that, or and it's really not. Elvis loved the tone and the style. Now, he was a very religious guy, but the songs themselves, you don't have to be in any way religious to. I'm with the whole band on stage who I don't think any of them are really, well, I shouldn't say that, I don't know, but it's a vibe more than anything else. There's a feeling in those songs, and it's the backing vocals, it's the, you know, it's the brass, it's all that sort of stuff. It's a sound more than anything else, and that's what I love about it. But definitely it's difference whether you're into religious music or not. It really has no real relevance in it at all. It's a feeling.
Didn't Elvis win some awards for his gospel music?
He won three Grammys. He won 3 Grammys, and that's all he ever won Grammys for. He never won them for any of his rock stuff at all. His background was, I think his uncle was a pastor. So he grew up, that's how he started singing. He used to, you know, sing in church and all the rest. And it kind of went from there. And then as the years went on, his popularity dropped when he got into the movies. And he tried to find himself again. So he got a whole bunch of gospel singers. And he just kind of sat around and just sung songs and got the feeling back into his voice. And so it, it, it was just a big part of what he did.
You say that you've been drawn to voices that have stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Who else have you been drawn to?
Well, I've done Roy Orbison quite a few times. There are a few reasons. I mean, I kind of suit his voice, but you know, again, a unique voice. He was an original. You know, there hasn't been a voice like Roy, I think, at all. But you know, then you get the likes of Paul McCartney and John Lennon and all these sort of guys as well that I've always loved. I've loved those singers. They're just unique. They had a kind of a. I think it's their uniqueness is the reason why we still listen to those songs now. Yeah. You know, they definitely had something of their own.
Well, that album did really good for you. I mean, what was it, top 20 for 22 weeks or something? Yeah, it was a good album. It was really good.
No, it was. I love doing it. It was a special album. I recorded in Nashville with his wife, actually. His wife. Yeah, she was the producer, the executive producer. So she oversaw the entire recording of the album and had the kind of, you know, the final say on what went on it, how it sounded. So it was unique in that way that it wasn't, you know, again, out to impersonate him. It was out to just celebrate his music because it's great songs.
Because I did ask that the guys when they're coming in and, you know, they said, yeah, Damon Leaf's coming in. You know, it's an Elvis show. And I went, I wonder if he's doing earlier Elvis or later Elvis.
Yeah.
Basically, I was waiting to see whether you'd got fat or what had happened. Then you tell me it's not a trip, you know, like you're not impersonating Elvis. So I thought, well, that's okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, the irony of it, I've just come back from Ireland. I got back 2 days ago and I have put on weight. I think I could pull off the kind of the fat look now. I think I had an entire month of just non-stop living it up in Ireland.
Because you still got family back in Ireland, I'd be assuming?
Yeah, all of my family, my parents. It was my dad's birthday. My brothers and sisters, they're all there. So it was great. But yeah, I think I could pull off a fat suit now. I couldn't believe it. I generally don't put on weight at all, but I think I've thrown on about 4 kilos.
Yeah, but if you don't go home and you don't put on weight when you're eating your mother's cooking,
you haven't had a good time.
Wrong, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, you've messed up. Something went wrong. That's right.
Now you've brought along your guitar. Are you happy to perform for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what I'm going to perform yet, but I think I'll just the first song that comes to mind.
Just go.
But before we have a song, I want to ask an Australian Idol song. Because, you know, I spend my job is watching TV, Gogglebox. I sit I make a critique.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, seriously, is Australian Idol a vehicle for success? Would you recommend it? Because, I mean, now there's so many of these shows. Is it a vehicle for success?
Australian Idol, when I was on it, I was very, very lucky. I mean, it's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was in the early days when, you know, I just said there wasn't a multitude of different shows. So we had a good opportunity. You got on there, people saw you, and you had a chance to stay out there or be known for a while before, you know, actually you normally had a year before the next thing would come along. Now you don't have that. You've got, lucky if you've got 3 or 4 weeks before and a competing show is on a different channel, basically doing the same thing. So it's hard now, but it's still a good vehicle. I mean, there's some incredible talent still there, still being spotted, still being found, but it's a pity Australian Idol's gone.
Yes.
I prefer that over any of the formats. I still think it's the best format because it allowed you to present yourself as yourself.
Yeah.
Without that whole idea of a mentor, you know, a mentor who takes credit for everything that you've done. Australian Idol, you die by your own sword. You picked your songs, you put them together, and if your song was a disaster, like when I did Celebration, they said it was the worst thing ever seen on TV, you die by that sword. It's your own fault. At least you did it.
But when you guys, I mean, the old guys, you guys went out there and you performed, you watch some of them now, the stage production that comes out with them, they've got 15 dancers behind them and going on. I'm thinking, actually, I'm meant to be watching whether you got talent, not the show behind
the
you.
The whole show, No, it's true. I mean, the production is insane on some of these shows now, really. I'm sure to perform under that circus would be amazing. You'd be looking around going, wow, this is incredible. But when the show ends and you try to take that on the road, good luck.
But we want to see people raw and authentic, don't we? With what their talent is, what they like singing, and that's it. Not this manufactured stuff.
Yeah, that's
with all these things bolted on as such.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear you raw and authentic this morning.
Raw and authentic. And and also jet lagged, as I said. You know, it's only been 2 days since I got back.
Early morning, jet lag. We've heard you sing, mate. You're going to be all right.
It'll be rough.
Tom's going to pour us a glass of red.
Oh, yes.
Oh, very good. Okay.
It's early. Remember it, Joy. We don't drink.
Oh, that's right.
It's a glass of coffee.
Well, yeah. I'm still on Irish time, so that, you know, as I said, I hope there's a whole month of that, so I could just pick up where I left off.
Excellent.
All right, so take it away, Damien.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on, walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There you go.
Well, can you believe that was live? No auto-tune, I will guarantee. Yeah. And I'm even going to say not even a Minogue might do that, but please don't listen to that. I said that, Kylie Minogue.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Well done. I mean, Goosebumps. That show's going to... I mean, you saw everyone in the audience. We're all excited, yeah.
Look, I love that song, and that's what I mean by, you know, it's Elvis Gospel. He put that in his gospel collection. He put... Bridge Over Troubled Water in his gospel, American Trilogy, all those sort of, so there's a lot of songs in there that you wouldn't think of that are necessarily Elvis gospel, but they are, you know, and we do, I've got these amazing singers. I've got three singers who were on The Voice, you mentioned.
Yeah.
I got Diana Ruvas, she got to the finals the first year, and then two other guys on stage with me as well. So the three of them, they sound incredible.
Right.
Like, I have moments in the show where I step back and I just... let them show what they can do, and they're incredible. So I think those singers are really important. Like in that last song, when they come in, you hear them, they're like a choir, they're just insane. It's just amazing.
Well, I still have goosebumps.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
That was amazing. We'll be coming along to see you. So if you want to catch Damien, he's performing for one night only in Melbourne.
That's it.
Saturday, Palms at Crown. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.
It's pretty full, so do definitely
so get onto it
quickly. Don't leave it to the last minute, because you will get left.
Listen, if you go to Palms and beg, they'll bring you in a little fold-out table and sit you up the very
Perfect.
Back.
Yeah. That's where we'll be.
More than likely. You're in a high chair. You'll know that.
Yeah, I'm a high chair. Oh, my goodness. There you go. Wow.
Wake up with Tom and Warren. Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.